The sermon reading for today is the words that you just heard from James chapter 1. I'm going to add something which is the beginning of James chapter 1. These words from verse 2 to verse 4. Count it all joy, brothers, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And then the words for today. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he received the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word is truth. We thank you for your brother James as he wrote to the churches who were dispersed. Lord, we thank you for his words that remind us of what it means to remain steadfast, to have that gift of steadfastness. We pray, O Lord, as we recognize that we are tested or given trials from without, from outside, as well as temptations from within, that you, O Lord, promise us that when we remain faithful to you, you give us the crown of life that can never be taken away. No one can snatch us from your hand. This is your gift to us. So, Lord, we pray that as we hear these words, we may be strengthened to remain steadfast in our faith and in our life. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the last little while, as we have watched the news and have read the papers and have seen what can happen in places, especially in the Middle East around Syria, and this last week in Libya, we can see that the promise that God gives us to remain steadfast under trials is going to continue with us to the end of time. The beheading of the 21 Coptic Christians last week really hit home for me because I thought to myself, what an amazing example of what St. James is speaking to the churches as he writes from the church in Jerusalem out to the churches, and he says that we are to remain steadfast and we are to see that when we are tested, and the word here in Greek, it doesn't really matter whether you use the word test, whether you use the word trials, but it means what comes at us from outside, what comes at us from the world. And he's basically telling the people to count it all joy, my brothers, when these things happen. Not if they happen, but when they happen. He is telling them that these things are going to happen. And we are living in a time in history when there are more martyrs than there ever has been since the time of the early church. I don't know if we understand that. We in the West don't really appreciate that because it's not happening right here. But it's happening in our world today. There's more martyrs today, according to martyrs, to the voice of the martyrs. It's happening more today than it ever has. And the reality is that we are fortunate to live in security here, but yet we are called upon to recognize, especially during the season of Lent, which is a time of contemplation, a time for meditation, a time for us to really ask the Lord to strengthen our faith. It's a time for fasting. It's a time for giving. It's a time for praying. It's a time where we take the 40 days of prayer and we pray for our city, for our nation, for our community, for the university. We pray that God will be sovereign and that he will have his way in our lives and in the lives of others. And yet the reality is, we are going to be constantly bombarded. Verse 12 ends the section in the book of James, which starts with verse 2, that is talking about the testing from without, from the outside, okay? From the circumstances in the world. Then it continues in verse 13, which is the second verse of our lesson today, and talks about the testing that goes on in us because of our sinful human nature that we would call the testing from within. How many of us know what the testing from within feels like? It's called temptations, right? And it's interesting because St. James wants us to be clear on this, not to blame God when we're tempted from within, but to blame our sinful nature. Is it easy to either blame God or Satan and not ourselves? Isn't it easy for us to say, well, you know, God is the reason. I mean, whenever you'd run across someone who has trouble believing in God, what do they always bring up? What's always their number one go-to thing? How would God allow, am I right? You've not experienced this? How would a loving God allow starvation, AIDS? How would a loving God allow all these things? Isn't that the first thing you hear? Not because we fell into sin, because of we're born in sin, because of original sin, not because of what we have done and are those people that have gone before us. No, it's always how would can God, a loving God allow? Because we don't want to blame ourselves, right? And yet here St. James starts out his first 12 verses of chapter 1. He spends the majority of them saying that we are going to be tested with trials that are from outside. We cannot do anything about them. These are the realities of living in the sinful world. But then he goes on to say, but don't be confused when you're tempted from within. It's not God's fault that we're born in sin. It was Adam and Eve's fault. You want to blame someone? Blame them. Adam tried to blame Eve. How'd that go for him? Not good. You know, if you want to blame someone, you can blame them because that's how we got here, right? It's because of sin. The result of sin is death. That's what St. James, he has a very different way of, than St. Paul of writing, but isn't that what he says in this passage of Scripture that we have for our lesson today? He says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. You see that? We know that in St. Paul writes in Romans, what? The wages of sin is death. We know this, right? But here, James gets to it a little differently. He says, you know, if you want to blame God, you're looking in the wrong spot. You got to deal with not only the tempting from without, or the testing from without, but also the testing or the tempting that comes from within. And that is why, brothers and sisters, this is so encouraging at this time in history. Because we recognize that when we understand, and that's what Lent is all about, is understanding our sin and recognizing our sinfulness and recognizing that we don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay in this sin, right? We don't have to stay where this sin continues to have bondage over us. The fact of the gospel is that God gave his only son. That's why this passage from Genesis that I read, or Brian read for me, from Genesis is so important because just as Abraham was asked to give Isaac his son for a sacrifice, we know that because Jesus was given as a once and for all sacrifice, that he came, as Mark said, at the fullness of time, when the time was fully here, that he was sent to do what he was what we were promised. He was sent to be that once and for all sacrifice for us, so that when we are tempted from within, we can have victory. Jesus gives us the victory. We can not only deal with the temptation, but we can overcome the temptation. Isn't that awesome? Some people say, you know, in Lutheran theology, it's very important to understand this. We believe that when someone makes a decision, they're making it because God is working on them. The Holy Spirit is active and working on them. When they receive Christ or accept Christ or whatever term you want to use, we believe, teach, and confess that it is the Holy Spirit working on the person. Working on the person. We say when it comes to the Apostles' Creed that we used earlier, when we do the third article of the Creed, we say that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies by His Spirit. So we give God the glory when people come to faith. It's because the Holy Spirit is at work in them, because St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12 that we cannot say yes, or Jesus is Lord, I should say. We cannot say Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's only when the Holy Spirit is at work on us that we can do the things that are pleasing to God, right? It's only when God sees Jesus in us and when he sees the Holy Spirit at work in us that we can do that. That's the prayer for waking us up to the Holy Spirit, is because we want to see the Holy Spirit at work. We can only overcome the temptations and testing that we experience when the Holy Spirit is reigning in our lives. It's only supernatural power that gives us the ability. When we reason things, it doesn't necessarily work that well. Have you ever tried to reason things? Have you ever tried to reason with yourself? Some of you? Have you won? You tried to reason with yourself? Well, maybe. The reality is, though, when the Holy Spirit is at work on us, when he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies us, when he's working on us, we can deal with the testing that comes from without, and we can deal with the temptations that come from within. He promises to help us to deal with those things that we cannot control in our world and to deal with the temptations that he tells us he can overcome in us. And so, brothers and sisters, when we say we decide, you know, someone said to me one time, you can't sing I have decided to follow Jesus in the Lutheran church. And I said, oh, yes, you can. You can. If you're talking about living as a Christian and making decisions each and every day as to whether I'm going to follow Jesus or not follow Jesus, you can decide on things every single moment of every single day, don't you? You decide whether to give in to your sinful nature or to not, right? You decide. You say, am I going to surrender to God or am I going to just say, well, this is the way I am, right? You make those decisions every day. But that's on the sanctification side. We don't make a decision for Jesus for him to choose us. He died for us to choose us. He did everything for us. On the side of justification, that we're made right with God, that's only through Jesus and his blood, his shed blood. There's nothing we can do to warrant that. But when we make decisions as we live out our lives, we make decisions every day. And I want to close by telling you the thing that warmed my heart about this whole thing with ISIS and the Coptic Christians, and I'm not scared to say Islamic terrorism. I'm not employed by the government, so I can say that. The thing that amazed me is that as we face these things in our life, the testimony and the witness of those people that were so faithful. The militants of the Islamic State released a gruesome video entitled A Message Signed in Blood to the Nation of the Cross, in which they released a warning saying that they were south of Rome. They then proceeded to behead the Christian men, some of whom were seen mouthing the words, Lord Jesus Christ, moments before their deaths. While the killings have stirred fears of the Islamic State's close proximity to Europe, they have also strengthened many in their faith. In an interview with Christian channel Sat7 Arabic on Wednesday, Bashir Karnal, brother of two of the Coptic martyrs, even thanked the Islamic State for including their declaration of faith in the videos before killing them. Bashir said, ISIS gave us more than we asked when they didn't edit out the part where they declared their faith and called upon Jesus Christ. ISIS helped us strengthen our faith. Isn't that amazing? Bashir went on to say that he was proud of his brothers, Bishoy and Samuel, saying that their martyrdom was a badge of honor to Christianity. Colonel's interview with Sat7 Arabic went viral, receiving over 100,000 views within hours of its posting online. When asked what his reaction would be if he saw an Islamic State militant, Colonel recalled his mother's response, and this is what really broke me. My mother, an educated woman in her 60s, said she would ask him to enter her house and ask God to open his eyes because he was the reason her son entered the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that amazing? That's what St. James means when he says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, For when he has stood the test, he'll receive the crown of life. Brothers and sisters, the crown of life belongs to us. Jesus died for it. He rose again for it. And he desperately wants us to know, no matter what we face, we not only are called to persevere, but we are called to victory. For he can overcome not only the testings we go through, but also the temptations that we face. May we walk in his power, and may we indeed know we have the crown.